Thank you, ladies. Philippians chapter 3 in our Bibles this morning. Philippians chapter number 3. God's good no matter what. God's always good, always will be good. And we have a wonderful, great God that we serve. I'm taking a break this morning from our Gospel of John series to preach a message that I've entitled The Right Attitude for a New Year. 2020 has been a year, hasn't it? I'm telling you, we've had challenges all the way around. I mentioned already our church calendar got turned upside down, and of course our things got locked down. We've had a couple different lockdowns here in Pennsylvania, and of course the virus, the pandemic, the masks. I mean, it's just been one thing after another. And you know, it's easy sometimes when you go through one thing after another to get a kind of a bad attitude. It's easy sometimes to get a negative attitude, if you would, a little negative outlook on things. And I want to help us this morning to have a positive attitude going into 2021. No matter what happens, we can have a good, positive faith attitude in our lives. We're familiar with the book of Philippians written by the Apostle Paul. At a time in his life where he faced some challenges. As a matter of fact, Philippians is known as a prison epistle. But yet it's interesting, a prison epistle, but really if you know the theme of the book of Philippians, the theme is really a theme about joy. And the Apostle Paul tells the church at Philippi to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He was an individual that practiced what he preached. Here he is writing from a prison type situation, and yet writing to encourage this church. I want to call your attention to verse number 15 first in Philippians chapter 3, and then we'll look at the verses that lead up to verse 15. And we're not going to probably share with you anything new. Sometimes it's important for us to be reminded of the basics of truth, right? And so we're in a familiar section of Scripture here today. But I want to look at verse number 15 real quick by way of introduction, and then we'll go back and read the verses prior. The Bible says this, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded." What's he talking about? Having the right attitude. "And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." Now, what are the verses prior to this that the Apostle Paul is talking about? Follow along in verse number 7. Verse 7, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God, by faith." And then look at what he says here. We'll come back to this in a minute. "That I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." We think about I'll get back to this verse in a minute. You think about the life of the Apostle Paul. You think about an individual that wrote this, rejoiced in the Lord through a time of prison and a challenge. And sometimes we think that guy had it all together. And that guy is telling this church at Philippi, "I don't have it all together. I haven't arrived. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Then verse 15, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect," the idea there of mature, "be thus minded, and if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you." The right attitude for the new year. Let's bow and ask the Lord to meet with us as we look at the Word of God here this morning. Lord, we recognize our desperate need for You this morning. Lord, we thank You for the Word of God and for the Spirit of God. And Lord, I cast my total dependence upon You this morning. Lord, I need You to help me to communicate truth as You would have. Lord, I pray that you would fill us all with your Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would meet needs. You know the needs of each one here today. I pray you'd meet needs as only you can. And Lord, we'll be careful to thank you and praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Someone said, what is an attitude? It is the advanced man of our true selves. Its roots are inward, but its fruit is outward. It is our best friend or our worst enemy. It is more honest and more consistent than our words. It is an outlook based on past experience. It is a thing which draws people to us or repels them from us. It is never content until it is expressed. It is the librarian of our past. It is the speaker of our present. It is the prophet of our future. I want to give you three words this morning that I find helpful in having the right attitude, whether it be for a new year or just in general. And as we move into 2021, obviously 2020 has been a challenge. And people have kind of looked at 2020, oh, negative. I hope 2021 is better. But lots of people say that this new year is going to be better, and I hope it is. But I want to give you three words this morning that I find helpful when it comes to this matter of our attitude and having a right attitude. The first word is the word focus. It is the word focus. Look back at our text in chapter 3 and verse number 11. The Apostle Paul says this, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And then verse 13, the first part, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. The Apostle Paul said this, I have not arrived. Now let me ask you this question. How many of you would say here this morning that you have arrived? Maybe you didn't understand the question. No, none of us have arrived. Now, this is important for us to remember this, because the Apostle Paul says, I didn't arrive. There were things in my life that I still needed to know about. Look at verse 10. He says that I may know Him. He's talking about knowing God. There were things about God that the Apostle Paul still didn't know. There were things concerning His character and concerning God's working in his life. The Apostle Paul said, hey, there were things about God that I still needed to know. There were areas in the Apostle Paul's life where he still needed to grow. The same verse says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. And then look at that phrase, being made conformable to His death. There were areas in his life where he wasn't conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, and he recognized that. And he recognized there were needs in his life. And we recognize today that we haven't arrived either. There are needs in our life. There are aspects about God that we still need to know. You know, when we get to a point where we think we have it all together, we're in big time trouble. But I think it's important for us to recognize that we're not where we need to be. So in getting us from where we are to where we need to be, God has to bring and does bring challenges into our lives. Can you hold your place in Philippians chapter 3 and turn to the book of James chapter number 1? The book of James chapter number 1. How do we grow into Christ's likeness? How do we know more about God? You see, the Apostle Paul had the right focus on his own life and recognized, hey, I still need to grow. In James 1, the Bible says this, beginning in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Hold on just a minute. So various trials are going to come my way, and I'm supposed to count it all joy. What gives us a bad attitude? What gives us a negative attitude? What is it that forms a negative attitude in our life? Is it not the negative circumstances that come our way? Is it not the diverse temptations or the various trials that come our way? And James says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Why? Because that is what God is going to use in our life. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any man lack wisdom, any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. You see, the outcome of our trials, the product of the process of difficulty is what we're after. You see, the Apostle Paul could have an attitude of rejoicing because he had the right focus concerning himself and where God wanted to take him in his life. We don't like difficulty. We run the other way. There's probably some people, and I'm not being negative, whatever. Obviously, people have health issues, but there's some people that have been in their house since February. You think about that. And again, some people have legitimate issues. But what are they doing? Saying, hey, I don't want to stay far away from this thing as I possibly can. I'm not saying we should be unwise. We need to be wise. But the reality is what God is trying to do is conform us to the image of His Son. And when I recognize I'm not there, I haven't arrived, I still need to grow, and I still need to be like Jesus in areas of my life, and I recognize then that what's going to bring growth in my life, what's going to cause me to be like Jesus, is the trying of my faith. It's the various temptations, the trials that come into my life, God is going to use. And that's the perspective that the Apostle Paul had on his life and the difficulties that came his way. What did Job say? We're familiar with Job and Job's challenges that he had. Job had the right perspective when he said this in chapter 23 and verse 10. He said, "He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." What was on Job's mind? The end product. The end product was, God's using these difficulties that I don't understand in my life, that I'm going to come forth as gold. Doesn't the Bible say, "For we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose." Now listen to the next verse. It says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son." You see, all things work together for good to them that love God. And what's God trying to do? He's trying to conform us to the image of His Son. You see, our perspective concerning difficulties changes when we think about this. I don't know what the future holds, but I know that God holds the future. And I know that when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And my perspective then of the difficulties doesn't have to be to run the other direction. Now, again, we have to be wise, and I'm not saying we create problems for ourselves, but there's some things that God just allows in our lives. And He allows them in our lives to conform us more like Himself. Let me ask you this question. We're in December now of 2020, and we all would look back and say, "Oh, what a year 2020 was." And I'll be so happy when it changes into 21 and hope it's better. But question, are you more like Christ today than you were in December of 2020? Are you more conformed into His image today than you were back then? You see, we often, again, have the wrong perspective concerning the difficulty when God wants to use that difficulty to draw us closer to Himself, to make us more like Himself. But often, sometimes, we don't see it this way and we embrace our wrong thinking. I read an illustration about Arnold Palmer, who we know is a golfer. He recalled a lesson that he learned about overconfidence. He said it was the final hole of the 1961 Masters tournament. He had a one-stroke lead and had just hit a very satisfying tee shot. I thought I was in pretty good shape. As I approached my ball, I saw an old friend standing on the edge of the gallery. He motioned me over, stuck out his hand, and said, "Congratulations." I took his hand and shook it, but as soon as I did, I knew I had lost my focus. On my next two shots, I hit the ball into a sand trap, then put it over the edge of the green. I missed a putt and lost the Masters. He said, you don't forget a mistake like that. You just learn from it and be determined that you're never going to do it again. And sometimes we think, hey, I'm doing pretty good spiritually. We think, man, I got this Christian life down, and boy, I don't know what's the problem with other people. And then what does God do? He brings difficulties in our lives that we can't handle because He wants us to depend on Him. It's kind of sad, really, that God has to do this for us sometimes, isn't it? We have a tendency to just, I'm going to make this thing work. And God says, that's what you think. God wants a close relationship with us. He wants us dependent on Him. He wants us to talk to Him. And sometimes Christian people will go days and weeks without communicating with God. And God has to, in His love, say, all right, I've got to bring this some difficulty in this person to draw them back to myself. Focus. Focus is important. Number two, I want to give you the word forget. Give you the word forget. Focus, we've got to have the right perspective. But the word forget, he says this, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Now I want to take just a few minutes and talk about our past, forgetting the things which are behind. A lot of people allow the past to affect their present. They allow the past to affect their future. Number one, all of us have a past. Every one of us, we have good memories, we have bad memories. We have things that we've succeeded in, some areas, and we have some things that we failed in. We have some decisions that we made that were good decisions and decisions we made that were bad decisions. And probably everyone in the room here this morning has some regrets concerning the past. But you know what? None of us can change the past. We all have a past, but none of us can change the past. There may be some things that you wish you could do different. You may say, boy, if I could just go back to 19, whatever it is, and if I could just go back and make some shoot, if I had not said that or I had not done that, hey, there are some things that we have in the past that maybe we regret, but none of us can change the past. Number three, when we think about our past, all of us can learn from the past. We can learn from the past. Our past should be a learning tool. The past mistakes that we've made and the past mistakes that others that we know have made and the past mistakes that we read about in the Word of God should be that which helps us learn from the past. But number four, and this is most important, none of us should live in the past. You know, the Apostle Paul had some successes and he had some failures. He persecuted the church of God. I mean, he killed people that were trying to promote the God that he now serves and loves. He had a past as well. And he said, this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind. The word forget does not mean we have amnesia. It means this. We no longer are influenced or affected by the past. We refuse to allow the face of the failures, the hurts, the difficulties to affect us, to hinder us. By the way, if you're going to be used of God to help people, you're going to have to be a little bit at risk of being hurt, of facing some challenges there. Hey, the past is the past. We can't live in the past. Many people are crippled by their past. There was a past failure, and they say, I'll never do that ever again. I remember a time when I was first starting out, and I was first starting out preaching, and I was doing an internship at my home church there in Philly, and I had worked all day, and I was a little nervous about the passage of Scripture that I was preaching from, and man, to everyone, to me, it was just a total disaster. I mean, I couldn't wait to get down. Of course, my mother said, oh, it's the best sermon I ever heard. Yeah, bless her heart. But I remember after that thinking, I just can't do this. I can't do this. I don't know that I can do this. I don't know that I want to do this. You know what? Our past failures will keep us from serving God. the past challenges in 2020 can cause us to not be the witness we need to be in 2021. I've known people that say, hey, I got to tell people about Jesus, and they go out and try to knock on doors and the door gets slammed, or someone's mean, someone's unkind, and they say, I can't do this, I'm not going to do this. Do you know what? That's not where God wants us to be. The Apostle Paul said, hey, I'm forgetting about the past. I read a comical little story about a father who promised his boy that when he got home from work, he'd play a whole inning of baseball with his son. Sure enough, when the father arrived home, he took the son out to the backyard to see what he could do. The little boy threw the ball up and swung the bat and missed. Strike one, the father said. The boy tossed the ball up again, swung again and missed. The father said, strike two. With more determination than ever, the boy threw the ball up a third time, swung as hard as he could and missed and spun around and he fell to the ground. His father said, strike three, you're out. What do you think? The little boy responded to his father, man, I am a good pitcher. Boy, I'm a good pitcher. You think about the attitude, positive attitude. We look at our past sometimes and we allow our past to haunt us. We allow our past to cripple us. We allow our past to cause us to be chained. Paul said, not me. He said, I'm going to forget those things which are behind. Let me give you a third word that I find helpful, and that's the word follow. I focus, I recognize that I've got to grow, and in the growth that God's going to bring in my life, He's going to allow difficulty. I forget about the past, the failures, quite frankly, and the successes. You ever know somebody live in the past? And I remember 10 years ago when, you know what I mean? I think sometimes we've got to forget the past successes and the failures. And number three, our third word is the word follow. It is the word follow. The Apostle Paul says this, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There was a single-mindedness about the Apostle Paul. He said, I'm moving forward. The word reaching forth is a word that means to stretch. It describes stretching a muscle to its limits and pictures a runner straining every muscle to reach the finish line. The word press is a word that means it shows that Paul's continuous effort to pursue the path that God had him on. The word toward is a word that has the idea of bearing down. I continually bear down on the goal, a mark on which to fix one's eyes. He was looking to the goal. What was the goal? The prize of the high calling of God. Christ-likeness with all of its benefits. The picture here is like a runner triumphing over the finish line as he approaches, raising his hand for the prize. In 2 Timothy chapter number 4, toward the end of his life, the Apostle Paul told Timothy, and we know that. As a matter of fact, let's turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 4, toward the end of his life, the Apostle Paul told his young preacher boy Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 7. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6, he says this, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I'm about to leave you, Timothy, about to die and go to heaven. I fought a good fight. I finished with my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. It was a motivator for the Apostle Paul. He didn't know what he'd face in the years ahead, but he was following after the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is your motivator? What motivates you? Our own comfort isn't the best motivator. Some people are motivated by trying to earn as much money as they can so that they can retire early and just sit around and do nothing. You ever notice that people that have money, they have problems too? And they spend their health to get their wealth, and then they spend their wealth to get back their health. You see, the reality is, what ought to be motivating us? What are we following after? What are we living for? We're living for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We're living for that, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I read a story about two shoe salesmen who were sent to an island to sell shoes. The first salesman, upon arrival, was shocked to realize that no one wore shoes. Immediately, he sent a telegram to his home office in Chicago saying, "We'll return home tomorrow. No one wears shoes." The second salesman was thrilled by the same realization. Immediately, he wired the home office in Chicago saying, "Please send me 10,000 pairs of shoes. Everyone here needs them." Do you see the difference? The difference is attitude. The difference is a positive attitude. And we need to embrace a positive attitude. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." In 1 Corinthians 3, "Every man's work shall be made manifest." The day will come when we see Him face to face. Boy, we sing about that here, don't we? We sing about that. We have the Lord's Supper. We sing about seeing Him face to face. No more sorrow here. You know, more burdens there. What a day it will be when we see Jesus. We got to keep our eyes on the prize. We got to keep our eyes on the prize of the high calling of God. The goal of hearing Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." One commentator said this. When it comes to attitude, I think it's important. I think it's good. He said this: "The longer I live, the more I realize that the impact of our attitude, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It's more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures or successes, than what other people think or say or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play the one string we have, and that is our attitude." And he concluded with this: "I am convinced that life is 10% of what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it." And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. The Apostle Paul said, in a time of imprisonment, he said, "I haven't arrived. I've got some growth." And he knew that the difficulties that came would grow him and make him more like Jesus. And by the way, we'll see Jesus when He's ready, when He's conformed us into His image, right? So you want to see Jesus sooner, cooperate a little more. How about that, right? Say, "All right, His work's done in me. I'm going to go be with Jesus." We've got to forget the past. We've got to follow on. Press on for the mark. Someday we'll see Him face to face. Let's embrace for 2021. No matter what happens, let's embrace a positive faith attitude. God is good. God is on the throne. God is in control. God has a work that He still needs done. And we are here for such a time as this. Let's grow in Him and let's move forward to the prize that He has for us. Lord, we love You today.